Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Mountain Time, Game Chat Podcast. We're live on YouTube and on Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash, April 22nd. Currently have Nick Merckx on my screen. He's got 250,000 viewers waiting for the new Warzone update. That was really cool yesterday. I had like 400,000 people watching him. And when you put that in perspective, 400,000 people watching one person play a video game is kind of crazy. So today, we got some quarterback stuff we got to talk about a little Super League, some golf stuff, just kind of whatever we want to talk about for the next hour. Eli, do you want to start by telling us a little bit about the European Super League?
Yes. So the Super League was, okay, pretty much it was all about money. And a lot of it was a lot of these big teams lost millions and millions of dollars because of COVID through like lost revenue and things like that. And so there's a lot of little things about the money that I don't even quite understand, but kind of like the base, like theme of the tournament is why, like one reason a lot of fans are really angry. So there was, I think 15 teams that were going to do it. And then every year for the tournament, there's like five guest teams that have to earn their spot and new five teams every year. But those 15 teams are locked in. And so basically it makes it almost impossible for like the rising teams to ever knock off like a big team. But like in the Champions League, those sort of teams that are just in the tier below, like teams like that have won the Champions League and things like that. Like they have that opportunity, but the Super League limits that. And so to like put that in perspective, that'd be like March Madness, but 75% of the teams are a lock. Like they play every single year.
Right.
Like Duke and Kentucky and Gonzaga or Baylor, whatever it is. But like 75% of the teams play no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then the other teams have to earn their spot. And so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No. It was, it was interesting. It was made big headlining news and now it's kind of crumbled because FIFA is, like, I think you told me FIFA is in control of the Champions League. So they were telling, or something like that.
Yeah. Also, UEFA is like their, like the European Soccer Federation, something, but they're the ones in charge of the Champions League, and they were going to basically kick those teams out of the Champions League. And there's four teams left, and three of those teams entered the Super League.
But it's also the World Cup.
Yeah, like, and then FIFA also stepped in and said, I don't know if they made it absolutely official, but they definitely talked about it. Like, if you go on with the Super League, like, these players will be ineligible to play for their countries in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And the Europa, which is, like, it's like the World Cup, but just like in Europe. I think that's this summer. The players never really had a say in the beginning, but then as of right now, all but two teams withdrew from the competition. And I think the last two are Barcelona and Real Madrid. And I think at least Real Madrid was kind of one of the teams that like wanted to like start it. So they're really trying to hold on, but everyone jumped ship pretty early.
Yeah. All right. I thought it'd be fun to create super leagues for the NBA and the NFL. So let's start with the NBA. So you gotta, I think for each of these we do eight teams for the NBA and the NFL. For the NBA, I feel like the NBA is pretty simple. Like these are teams that are like you want the market, right? Like that's kind of why like the European, it took the 15, not necessarily the 15 best. So not necessarily the eight best in the NBA or NFL, but, like, who's going to bring in the most money, right? So for the NBA, the eight that I had, tell me if you guys disagree. Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, Knicks, Heat, Celtics, Bulls, Mavericks. Those are the teams that I had. Do you have any others that we could add? I think you have, like, the Bulls are kind of if, but because of like their history with Jordan and stuff, and they're also in Chicago. Same with kind of the Mavericks. Like there's no other team in Texas.
I'm trying to think of what your biggest snub is.
Like, what, what's your biggest? I mean,
the Sixers.
Nets
this year would definitely have to be in there, right?
Right. I mean, coming at the two New York teams, and both of them kind of, I mean, Nets are ridiculous. They got, and the Knicks are always just like, eh. But if the Knicks were ever good when we are, like, actually paying attention to sports, they would be excelled with
top. Which they're kind of good right now, and everybody's going crazy about it.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about these is, like, if we're picking them right now, so how much do you weigh in this season versus, like, historically? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, yeah, if it's now, the Knicks have to be there. But then, I'd probably kick out the Bulls.
Yeah, which is tough.
Yeah, but if you have to put in the Nets this
year.
Like,
I mean,
you just,
the Bulls
you just have to.
Haven't...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking at going forward, I think the Bulls have to be out. Because obviously you can attach to the history, but if we're going forward with a Super League,
maybe
we definitely put the Nets in.
Maybe the Clippers, too. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how big are the Clippers nationally.
Well, they're in L.A., but they're
definitely the second team.
The B team,
So that's where it's like you kind of want some geographical diversity. If this is going to be like the only basketball that's on professional TV, you don't want to kick out Chicago because that takes away that whole Midwest portion. The NFL is definitely a more – this is a way bigger debate. Basketball is really simple. Like, there was two teams that I missed, and I put this list together in 10 seconds. The NFL is really tough.
We're doing eight for this one?
Yeah, eight teams. So, should we make this – is this going forward, or is this – because does the Super League, did their teams change every year?
Only five.
Only five out of how many?
20. So there's 15 teams, like 15 DLB teams that will never leave.
So let's make it eight – that stay permanently, two that rotate, so the two that would be in for this year. So the eight, what are our eight permanent teams?
What the only team I look at and I'm like, there's no possible way they go out is the Packers. The Packers for me are like the one out of like a couple teams. They're just like, there's no way that they go out of it.
So here are the ones I have as locks. I have six as locks. I think the Patriots are locks. I think the Packers are locks. I have Kansas City as a lock. I have the Steelers. I have the 49ers. And I have the Cowboys.
That's the thing, though, is we're looking at going forward. It's the Patriots.
But, like, the
That's
cute,
the tough part, though.
Yeah.
Saying.
But those are definitely the biggest brands in football.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
when it comes
more
to Super
focused
Bowl,
on.
When it comes,
yeah.
Those are staples of NFL history.
And that's how, like, the Super League was, like, based on. Like, these are – the teams that are in the Super League aren't teams that are, like, oh, they've just kind of, like, they've been really good recently. Like, these are teams that are, like, still really good, but, like, historically have always just, like, dominated.
Yeah. So I think those – I mean, what – do you guys – are there any other – do you not think one of those six teams should be in there? Because I think you have to have those six.
If we're including, like, all of NFL history, they have to be. I mean, you're talking about teams that have major – major implications and major history behind each franchise, especially with the Packers. Like, they've been good for so long, and like we all know who the Packers are.
But if Belichick retired next year, I don't really have any sort of aura to the Patriots.
I agree.
That's the tough thing with the Patriots is right now they're not that good, but they had like a
Okay, so then I'm fine with just making it that five: Green Bay, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, 49ers, Cowboys.
Yeah, the Patriots tough one. I mean, without Tom Brady and Bill Belichick,
They haven't really done a lot. Like, they're not just not done anymore. They're just, like, not good.
They also have the most Super Bowls.
So,
that's the tough part.
So then there's a lot of other – this is where it gets really interesting. Like, the ones that I saw, the things – I think Tampa Bay has to be on there because they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So they, I think, automatically – like, I think they get in.
Yeah.
Not – forever.
Yes.
They get
automatic bid.
Yeah. But they can lose it because as well, like, when Brady leaves, they're not going to be a staple.
Maybe I feel like they'd be one of the two teams that gets the slot. But if they don't do well this season, they're out.
So the other team, like, when I looked up and some people have written articles in the past week about who they think should get in. So, like, the New York Giants, because of New York and their history, the Denver Broncos, Baltimore, Saints, Seahawks, Browns, Rams.
Browns?
Legitimately, Browns and Seahawks are the two teams I was looking at. I think the Browns,
The Browns going forward are at least this season are definitely one of the.
They're the lovable loser of the NFL, and now they're kind of on the rise. But they're a team that you ask somebody who doesn't even watch football, they probably know the Browns are not very good usually. Like, it's just a common thing that everybody knows, and I don't know. I feel like that having that area and just having that kind of lovable loser team that.
People, a lot of people have rallied around the Browns, and I mean, if you watch any sort of football, you've seen the picture of the jersey with 30 NFL quarterbacks on the name on the back, and it's like their history really isn't the best history, but they do go back a while. But they just, we know them as being bad for so long, and so
right. So okay, if we're picking up for this season, let's just say this 2021. Who are the 8 teams we're putting in? I think Chiefs and Bucks have to be on there because they were in the Super Bowl. Chiefs, Bucks, Packers.
Including your 5 staples. And then we have 3.
Bills
got to
probably be in there.
Bills got to probably be in there. Yeah.
What if this is just for next season?
Okay.
Not including we don't have to include the teams I said.
Okay.
So we got, who do we have? Packers.
Chiefs,
Bucks.
Just 3, yeah.
Bills.
I guess they were 4. Number 2 in AFC.
Browns?
So the why Browns, though? At that point.
Okay. Rams? I think the Rams with their names, like Ramsey, Donald, McVay, L.A.
Stafford. There's just so many teams in the same bracket that it's just like you're picking and choosing at that point. But I totally get your argument.
So then it has a really good argument.
Yeah.
With that coming back, and just being America's team, I think that if the fans are picking it, it's a much different list than if TV companies are picking it. If the NFL brought in executives from, it was like CBS, Fox, NBC, and ESPN, and they're like, all right, we're all going to debate right now who the 8 teams were going to show on TV this year.
Right.
Like, I bet Cowboys are probably the number one pick.
100% the number one pick.
Maybe the Chiefs, but
$4.8 billion.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Who else? Who's the next?
At this point, it's just a debate.
The Seahawks.
I put our teams, and then there's just so many teams in the same tier that you're just like, well, I like them this year, so I guess I'll pick them.
Right.
I think you could make an argument that besides the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, you're not touching any other team in those two divisions. And then, you're probably picking 2 from the NFC West. I would say you pick 1 LA team and
Chargers too, man.
Yeah, the Chargers are tough too. I think they're still 1 year.
Yeah, but
away.
I compare the Chargers and the Rams to like the Knicks and the Nets. Like people like the Nets because they have good players right now, but they were never New York team. Like the Knicks, right? And so now it's the Rams. Like people love the Rams, and then here's Chargers.
So okay, who's your 8? Who are you guys at 8? You had to pick yourself. This is basically just like if we could only watch these teams play. Like if these are the only 8 that are going to play this year, who are we picking?
Go ahead. Chiefs, Chargers.
You pick the Chargers? Okay.
Yeah.
I need a list of teams. Yeah,
Browns.
You're right, Matthew.
Bills. Packers. Seahawks. Gotta do that. Rams, and then screw it, 49ers.
That's the thing. If we want to watch teams, we're going to want to watch the NFC West. So.
right. Okay, who are yours?
I don't have a list in front of me, but I'll go Bucks, Packers for sure from the NFC. I'll go Bills, Chiefs from the AFC. And then from there, I'll have the Niners in there. I'll have the Seahawks in there. I'd rather watch the Seahawks and the Rams. I got 2 more. I'd probably throw in...
Did you say the Bills?
Yes, I had the Bills in there. And stuff. Stuff. I mean, I'd probably throw the Rams in there if I had to contest it with other teams. And I'd probably throw in either the Browns or Ravens. I'll say Ravens just to go a little different.
Okay. I don't have one in front of me, but... Chiefs, Bills, Bucks, Packers,
I know everyone is saying the Browns, so I don't know. I actually do really want to see the Browns. They showed a lot of promise. So yeah, I guess I'll say Browns. That's five, right? I like Matthew's pick of the Chargers.
Yeah.
And then
would you throw the Saints on there just for comedy?
Just to see
Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston?
Like, just out of curiosity.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, they just got nuked. Or the nuke happened over there.
Matthew's like, wait, what happened?
Yeah. Two different worlds right now.
I'm throwing the Cowboys on my list. I want to see them. So I have
Seahawks, Packers, Chiefs, Bucks, Bills, Cowboys, and I do Browns as well. Is that all? I think that's eight. If I had one more, I'd do the Niners. I'd much rather watch the Niners than the Rams for some reason. I don't know why. I'm more of a rivalry with the
Question for Eli and Brandon. Would you rather watch the Cowboys or the Dolphins?
This year? Ooh, Cowboys.
This year.
Cowboys. I don't really care to watch Tua.
That's
just my question.
I'd say Cowboys too. If Dak wasn't there, I'd probably say Dolphins, though.
So. Yeah.
If Dak was her, I mean, obviously I'd say Dolphins, but I don't know. I feel like, to Jack's comedy point, laughing at the Cowboys and how up and down they are
right.
is comedy to me too. And then I get to watch Dak for the two. I'm going Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
They're going like back in time. That's sick. Okay. Next thing. Okay. So I was listening to this podcast this morning and they were like giving off takes, right, for the draft or something. And one of the guys has Justin Fields as his number two quarterback, and then Wilson, like, down below. And there's been a lot of, like, Wilson comparisons to Rodgers and to Mahomes or Zach Wilson. And the question that he asked was, like, he was basically just saying, like, will Zach Wilson's career be closer to Mahomes or closer to Manziel?
It gives me a lot of Baker Mayfield vibes.
Right.
I'd say if he plays and is in the league in 4 years, he's closer to Mahomes. I don't care if he's the 32nd best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
He's closer to Mahomes if he plays in the next, after 4 years.
My problem with Zach Wilson right now is I definitely think that he has the talent and the skills to be able to become a Mahomes Rodgers type. But when we look at like Mahomes and Rodgers, they went into completely different situations that he's going to be going into. They went into NFL-ready teams now that were winning, had great rosters around them. And Zach Wilson's going into probably the biggest question mark of the year in the Jets with a new head coach. GM's still there. Ownership's always had their problems.
Yeah.
Not going to have the best team around him. He's never seen real-time, like, real, like, pressure, like, NFL-type pressure before. So I think that he is on an uphill battle. I really do. I could easily see Zach Wilson, like, being good, but being around a pretty crappy team, like kind of closer to like what Sam Darnold experienced, but I think he's going to be better than Sam Darnold just because of the better pieces they have around him right now. But I could definitely see him on a new team in 4 to 5 years.
What do you guys think?
I really don't know too much about Johnny Manziel.
He's just a bust. That's basically
I knew that much, but like, did he do anything in the NFL?
Not really.
Not really.
Just two good games, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like what Matthew said. If he plays at all, he's in the top 32 quarterbacks.
Yeah, in four years.
In four years,
he gets all the opportunity. I like the 2018 draft with all the quarterbacks taken. There's these three quarterbacks that come to mind of like three different directions he could go. You have the top tier, which is Josh Allen. I'm going to ignore Baker Mayfield in this discussion, FYI.
Well, you have Lamar, too, right?
Yeah.
Was he in that draft?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Didn't scroll down that far. I'm just going to talk about these three.
Yeah.
So Lamar's not in there. So you have Josh Allen at the top, rising, continues to rise every single year. Now he's currently a top three quarterback. you have Sam Darnold, who is a guy that we haven't given up on yet. He's on a new team, but he's onto a new situation, didn't pan out. And then you have Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen's taken a 10. Dude's a backup at best. Probably won't be a backup in 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, you have three different directions there. I think he's probably, like Brandon said, like 2 steps above Sam Darnold, just because I think he's going into a better system with a better coach that won't get fired, hopefully. But I don't think he's quite Josh Allen. The Jets really start to turn it around. But I think he'll be a quarterback in the NFL starting in 5 years. So I think he's quite a bit above what Johnny Football was with
the
Browns.
The crazy thing is just, like, pure numbers in the past, like, 10 years for NFL, honestly, for entire NFL history draft-wise, in the first, like, when quarterbacks are taken in the first round, it's like 50-50 that they're going to be a bust or, like, a competent starter even. Not even, like, a top 10. It's, like, competent starter or horrible. And it's just crazy that we're going to have 5 minimum in the first round this year. And it's, like, at least 2 of them are going to be bad. And that's just, so, like, it's really weird to think about right now because we don't really want to think of them as being bad when they're just about to get drafted, you know?
And I think a huge part to it is where they go. Jones discussion, it's great. I mean,
for sure.
Mac Jones goes to the Niners system where he just has to do what he does, stay in his lane. But he'll probably have some type of, like, progression and be a good quarterback in the NFL. But if he went to the Broncos, like, Mac Jones of the Broncos, I could see another Drew Lock type situation. It's crazy, like, where these guys could end up, and it has a big impact on their future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here, I have a list of quarterbacks taken in the first round since 2010. And so, like, 2010, it was Sam Bradford and Tim Tebow. 2011, you had Cam Newton, who's a hit. Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder. All bust. And those were 8, 10, and 12. Then you had 2012, you had Andrew Luck, who was, like, great number one pick for a couple years. I mean, it's tough, right? Like, he was a stud, and now they don't have him.
Right.
That's tough. RG3, Ryan Tannehill, who Tannehill ends up right now the best one out of this bunch, but not for the Dolphins. So how do you rank that? And then Brandon Whedon, first rounder. 2013, you had 1, E.J. Manuel. Horrible.
The only quarterback in the
round?
Wow, what a bad draft.
He was number 16. Wow. 2014, you had Blake Bortles, number 3 overall, Johnny Manziel, and then Teddy Bridgewater, the last pick of the first round.
That one's rough, too. My goodness.
2015, you had Winston Mariota, 1 and 2. 2016, Goff, Wentz, both on different teams now, Paxton Lynch. Horrible. 2017, you have Trubisky, Mahomes, Watson, by far the best.
Yeah.
But still. 2018, Baker, this is the one we referenced just now, Baker, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Lamar. That's what? 2.5 hits?
That blows my mind, because we look at Lamar and we look at Josh Allen, and now we're looking at Baker with a little bit of a brighter light. It's like, man, these guys are good. These are staple starters in the NFL. And to think of Sam Darnold in that class, it makes me really think about it.
Because Darnold was not a hit for the draft.
No,
anything but. And Rosen, horrible.
That's crazy.
2019, Kyler, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins. Haskins bad, 1.5. Yeah, Daniel Jones is still playing, so I guess.
I'd give him a half right now. We'll see.
I probably would say a miss. And then 2020, you have Burrow, who's – looks like a hit. He's probably still a question mark because he's injured.
Yep.
Herbert hit. Tua, still a question mark, but leaning towards miss. And then Jordan Love, miss. I mean,
question mark.
I mean, that's my point. Just like, we're gonna look at this in 2 years and be like, I mean, it's gonna be probably 2.5.
With the Jordan Love thing, could you call him a bust? Because more than likely, he probably won't play a game under his rookie contract for the Packers, when you think about it. So I don't see Aaron.
Yeah, we'd have to
see
what happens.
What year, how many years into the NFL until Aaron Rodgers played? Was it 2?
4 years?
I believe. But you'd have to, that means Jordan Love would have to play for the Packers.
100%.
Like otherwise it's a miss.
It's a miss for the Packers, yeah.
He was drafted in
2005.
05, and then he played in 08. It was his first season.
Okay.
He played, yeah, that was his first season starting. I think it was 6-10 his first year. So, wow, that's crazy. Okay, yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to, that was an interesting debate when he said, when he was talking about Zach Wilson being, the guy said he thinks he's closer to Mansell than Mahomes, which I thought is crazy. But I don't know what the spectrum is for that. So
I also think that, I mean, it's easy to say it now, obviously, but like we've had our conversations about the problems Mansell was having off the field too. Like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
see Zach Wilson as a guy that's drinking and
doing
all this at halftime of ball games. Like, it's just a little different situation.
Yeah, they tried it with the oh he's a bad teammate stuff, and that just gets shut down really quick. I don't buy that.
Yeah, he wasn't selected as a captain. Before the year started, and then he was like week something.
What's the movie Draft Day?
Draft Day, the birthday party. Yeah. All right, I wanted to go over the QB debates that we had in our story the other day. So, if you had to start a franchise today, that's the question we asked for all of these. The first one was Herbert versus Burrow. It was 39 votes Herbert, 14 votes Burrow. I think that's probably what it is right now. The Russ and Josh Allen one ended 27 votes for Russ, 29 for Josh Allen. So 52-48%. I don't know. I'm still skeptical of Josh Allen, personally.
Right,
I totally get, like, in that restart draft, picking him where you did and ranking him where we are, but I don't know. I'm still and Justin Herbert, too. I'm still a little skeptical of Herbert and Allen just because of – I think we're ranking them, like, in the elite category, and it's like, okay, they've done this 1 year. Like, we've seen multiple times where quarterbacks have had one elite season. And
Matt Ryan.
RG3 is a guy that comes to mind for me. Like, that had a great rookie year, and we were ready to anoint this guy. And
then MVP year.
Right. Like, guys have done this before where we are, like, they are the best of the best. And I don't know. I would not be shocked at all if Herbert and Josh Allen have good years next year, or maybe better years, and then we can start. But I don't know. For now, I'm like, when I see Russ versus Josh Allen, like if all things are equal, like I'm taking Russ.
It's all because he didn't finish the year strong.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden the narrative is that he's not that great.
Yeah.
Because of one bad stretch of 8 games.
But
I'm right there with you on that.
Like if Josh Allen is in the same system, I don't like how much better is Josh Allen doing than Russ? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know, because the question was if you're starting...
You have to start a franchise today.
Yeah, I think the polls being that close probably benefits Russ, just because Russ has a lot more years than Josh Allen, and so when people see, like, you know, starting a franchise or something like that, a lot of people kind of, I feel like, lean towards, like, the younger side.
So you're saying... So the polls will benefit Allen. Like, more people are going to vote for Allen because he's younger.
Yeah, but, like, because they're close, I feel like that's better for
Russ. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if they plot out who's a better quarterback, like, I think
that's true.
People would say Russ.
But that's, I guess, the age definitely does favor Allen. But I would also say, like, Russ is not, I don't personally, I think Russ has a good 7 years left where he's still going to be, like, I don't know. I wouldn't really worry a ton if I'm starting a franchise today about Russell's age. Like, I think you'll obviously get way more of Josh Allen, but Josh has had one good year. Like, he was not very good his rookie year and his second year. He was, like, he showed promise, but I don't know. But I see what you're saying, for sure. That if it is just right now, it's Russ, but because we're saying the age has to factor in, No, that makes sense. What do you think?
No, I mean, obviously the age thing's a big factor, and it really is just what do you think about Josh Allen and how good do you think this 1 year is, or how descriptive do you think this 1 year is about his career? Because, like, we could obviously see him drop off the cliff next year. Or I think the more years, if Mahomes dominates the AFC and Josh Allen continues to lose, I think our view of Josh Allen is going to drop, because if he can't get over the hump, then
right.
Who cares how good he is? You know?
Right.
So.
For sure. Next one was Matt Ryan versus Matthew Stafford. This one was 80-20 in favor of Stafford. I wonder if this is more like Matt Ryan fatigue. Do you think people are just done with Matt Ryan? Like, don't believe in Matt Ryan anymore?
I think if you put them one up against the other, I think Stafford just has so many more excelling traits to him. You know, I think Matt Ryan benefited 1 year from the system he was in, because we've seen him outside that system and it hasn't been that great. So
yeah,
I just think Stafford has so many more tools and things that you can do that will help your team win now compared to Matt Ryan back there like a statue. And
the perception, I think, though, if Stafford has a bad year this year, is drastically going to change for
yeah.
him.
Oh, yeah.
Because his whole year it's been he hasn't had. Same with Darnold. Like, those guys have bad years, it's going to be they're just bad quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The whole time it's been, they don't have enough around them. They don't have the surrounding pieces. They don't have the coaching. Well, now they have them. So, like, if Stafford has a bad year or they can't win, they're like, all right, this one's – like, Stafford's just not as good as we think he is. Because
yeah.
Matt Ryan – I mean, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but he won an MVP and been to a Super Bowl. Like, even if you have Julio Jones in his prime, like, that's still hard to do. So, but I agree with you. If I had to pick one, all things being cool, I'd take Stafford, no doubt. But we might have to revisit this conversation in a year. Because, going into 2021, Stafford has better surrounding tools. I think that's probably a no-brainer. Even with Matt Ryan's offense, like, Stafford has better defense. And just as good of an offensive tools, you know. So
say the Rams go 8-9. Who are you choosing at that point? Because
if they go 8-9 with,
you can make the argument, okay, they didn't win, but the Falcons haven't been winning either. So
no, but what if if they go 8-9 with that defense, then something's wrong. I think, unless Aaron Donald was hurt half the year or something like that. But if they go 8-9 with that defense, then Goff brought you to the what Goff won you a playoff game last year, hurt.
Yeah,
I would have some. Obviously, it matters how Stafford played, you know.
Yeah,
but I just think that's a bad sign. If
he probably did not play right.
No, there's no way. Yeah. All right, the next one: Andy Dalton versus Jimmy G.
What do you
gotta do? This is the epitome of mediocrity. Like, yeah, you take Jimmy G because he's been, he at least showed something more than Dalton. But yeah. I wouldn't want any of them if I had the choice.
Well, you don't want to start. You don't want to start a franchise with guys, mom.
No.
So.
That is the strategy in the draft where you win all defense and wide receivers, and you're like the 15th round,
right.
And you're like, we forgot to draft a quarterback. okay, these last two are interesting. Lamar versus Kyler. This one was pretty close. It was 44% Lamar, 56% Kyler. This one was really interesting to me. I don't know. Were you guys surprised by this at all, that it favored Kyler?
No. For me, it's Kyler all the way.
Really? I think I'm Lamar.
Really? So
yeah.
When it comes to mobile quarterbacks, I'm always going to favor the guy that can sit in the pocket and not have to rely on his legs. And right now, my perception of Lamar is he just can't get it down the pocket. And at the end of the day, the quarterback is someone who has to stay in the pocket and make plays. So right now, I'm full Kyler. And I think Lamar's had his really good years. And if he can't figure it out in the pocket, I feel like our perception of Lamar is going to go down a lot if they just can't get it done in the pocket, because how long can you run for without getting hit at some point? Right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know if I believe in Kyler that much more than Lamar as a passer. So that's the reason I think I take Lamar, is because I think Lamar is a better runner. And I don't know if I think Kyler's that much better of a passer.
I'm kind of maybe in between. My thing is that I think Kyler has to stay healthy. I know he had an arm injury he dealt with, and it showed a lot And I think if he can avoid those type of injuries, he's a much better passer. And I think he's a more complete quarterback than Lamar. But we haven't really – Lamar's offense is so unique in that they don't really want to invest in any sort of, like, weapons to throw down
right.
the field. They have Hollywood Brown, and they're like, all right, Willie Sneed. Like, they brought in somebody. I forget who they brought in. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting – it's two different systems. Personally, it's Kyler for me, but I agree. I think they're relatively close. But I think it comes down to if Kyler can stay healthy, I think he's a better passer. But if he has arm injuries, then you're probably taking Lamar because Lamar can just do more with his running ability.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's just – I thought Kyler was going to have a much better season than he ended up having. And so it was a little, like, disappointing for me with Kyler.
In person, I just think that's on Clef.
I agree. No, I agree too. I agree too. But like, I'm just like, if you have Lamar in that offense, do you think that offense is better, or you think it is more Clef?
I don't think it's better.
I don't think
Lamar.
It's better. Either.
Really, I think they're better with Lamar. I think the
Cardinals
are
better with Lamar.
Yeah.
With the passing
with their weapons?
With the widespread passing game.
I mean, we've never seen Lamar with DeAndre Hopkins.
I think there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Well, but okay, sure, but we still haven't seen it. Like,
yeah.
I think D-Hop will be very angry that he's not getting 8 to 10 targets
yeah.
a game. But I think he gets like 4 Lamar.
Rightfully so. I don't blame the Ravens for not going to get weapons.
No,
I
don't either.
I think that they do it on purpose. Cause like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, he's going to pull it down and run as many times as he wants.
You've had plenty of options to pick up that. They just
no,
chose not to.
Very true.
That's a good point.
But, I mean, they have a great recipe. I mean, that's why I think Lamar is in the perfect spot because they built around him right. They did what they needed to do. And right now they have a really good defense and they can run the ball and waste clock. That's what they do. And so,
yeah. But then
to like,
Tyler's point with the Cardinals, like, how much better weapons are you going to get for Kyler?
No, not
like,
that's the year.
Right? Yeah.
Especially if I saw the mock draft that they said they're going to trade up for Waddle.
Yeah.
It's do or die. Like, it's do or die.
Yeah.
If they do not go to the NFC Championship when they trade up for Waddle with that offense, then Cliff Kingsbury is probably, like, going to get thrown off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, minimum.
No, for sure, and he should be in. I mean, I think some of that blame has to go to Kyler.
Yeah,
I mean, you have DeAndre
yeah.
Hopkins, and I mean, even his weapons last year were pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I just think at a certain point, yeah, it is. I'm right with you. I think it's Cliff, but I think at a certain point, you also have to start giving some of the blame to Kyler. And it goes both ways for Lamar because they haven't won. Like the Ravens, with their recipe, like they should, especially last year, not 2019, they should have been better. So, and then the last one we had on there was Lamar versus Justin Fields. This one was 65 Lamar, 35 Fields. Yeah, I mean, I guess
he's an MVP and Fields doesn't play the NFL.
Yeah, that's the part to me.
One
like,
one
yeah, I understand the traits for Fields, but if like it's the same thing. Around both quarterbacks, like it's tempting to say Fields just because he's probably a better thrower, even though we haven't even seen him in the NFL. But I would take Lamar, and I think it's a little that was a little unfair.
It's only because you guys picked Fields and then I got Lamar at the end of the
game. Yeah.
I wanted to see what the people thought, but
I'm just on the completely other side with Lamar. Like, if I'm starting a franchise, I just don't want Lamar. And so, like, that's the nice thing is you can draft who the heck you want, right? So there's so many different options besides just Fields or Lamar.
But like, why are you so against Lamar? Because
offense are you running? If you're creating a team, what type of offense are you running?
If I draft Lamar, I'm obviously going to draft to cater to what.
But that's what I think. I don't think it's like I just don't think it'd be that hard. Like. Yeah, I think I've kind of shifted on Lamar because I think if you're building a team around him, it's pretty easy to build a team around him.
That's a fair point. But I'm just on the other side. I don't know.
But like, I think if you're taking Lamar, you're taking him in the first round. So it's not like you have this team that's like you have two good wide receivers and then you're taking Lamar. You took Lamar and now you're able to build around it with offensive linemen and defense. So that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it'd be that hard to build a team around him. But that's my opinion.
I don't think it would be.
We have anything else on those? It was really funny. That list that I put up on the story yesterday, today, a QB rankings from SOG Football. That's a good Instagram account to follow. They rank quarterbacks going into this season. So starting quarterback rankings going into this season. And it was really funny. Like, I'm not even kidding. 2 days ago, Monday, I think, actually. So 3 days ago, one of my classes, I did the exact same ranking. Like, I ranked all 32. That was crazy. And so they had Jameis as a starter for the Saints, but I had put Taysom on there, and I put Taysom at 32. Like, I just locked him at 32. But this was my starting, all 32 starting quarterbacks, right, if they were starters right now. So I had Mahomes, Rodgers, Russell. I had Deshaun on there. Tom Brady at 5. Allen, Prescott, Lamar, Herbert, Stafford, Kyler, Tannehill, Burrow. Is that high for Burrow at 13? Baker, 14. Kirk Cousins, 15. Matt Ryan, 16. Derek Carr, 17. Big Ben, 18. Fitzpatrick, 19. Goff, 20. 21, Wentz. Trevor Lawrence, 22. Jimmy G, 23. Cam Newton, 24. Zach Wilson, 25.
Fitzpatrick, on that list?
Yeah. On this one? Yeah, I believe so.
He was, I don't remember who it was.
23 on their list.
Once Trevor plays one game, I'm putting Trevor over Ryan Fitzpatrick. I love Fitzmagic. One game, as long as he doesn't throw four packs, I'm putting Trevor over. But yeah, I...
27, I had Andy Dalton. 28, Tua. 29, Daniel Jones, 30, Jalen Hurts, 31, Drew Lock, 32, Taysom Hill. It was the rookies are by far the hardest thing to do.
Oh yeah.
So that I see your point about Trevor Lawrence, because I could Trevor Lawrence, I could rank him all the way up at 14.
Right.
I could see him being easily that high. I know I'm reading all those stats that just what we talked about earlier, how many bust quarterbacks there are, and I'm getting a little scared.
Right. I always say that about Fitzmagic, partially because yesterday or maybe 2 days ago, I had to Google search who is the quarterback of the Washington football team. And then I was like, oh. So, I don't know. I think they're going to be maybe one win better than they were with Fitzmagic over Alex Smith, but I don't think you throw Fitzmagic in there and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, this
is
really good now. I don't know.
But I think he's better than anything they had last year.
A little bit.
Really? You don't think it's that much of an improvement?
No.
I think he's a really good
Alex Smith and Kyle Allen and Dwayne Haskins?
I mean, if he was really that good, why didn't the Dolphins? I mean, I know Tua, they love Tua, but if he was really that good, he would have just won the job and they would have gone to the playoffs, in my personal opinion, if he was really that good.
My problem with Fitzmagic is we all know him for Fitzmagic moments, but there's a lot of moments where he's just not that great either. There's a reason why he's been on 15 different teams, So I don't see him, I don't know. Alex Smith was just a cool story and everything, so he's probably an improvement over Alex Smith, but at least Alex Smith was, safe with the ball and did what they needed him to do to win games. You got to rely on the defense. But now that they have offensive weapons, hopefully he can get the job done, but they need someone else at quarterback. That's just the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think he's the answer, but I guess I think he's better than what they had last year. By more than I think you...
I think he's Andy Dalton with more swag.
If he didn't have a beard, I don't
know. Yeah.
If he didn't have that big beard sticking out of
if he wasn't borderline brilliant, he wouldn't be that interesting. The dude went to Harvard. His wonderful score is off the chart.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't know.
I hope they draft someone. So.
Me too.
Where they move up or move down to kill them on, I don't know, get someone.
The guy had, they had Zach Wilson at 31. That was interesting to me. I don't know if I could rank Drew Lock ahead of Zach Wilson.
I wouldn't, but
he'd have to be really bad to be worse than Drew Lock. And then Goff at 26 and Wentz at 19 was shocking to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if Carson Wentz is even better than Goff, but let alone that much better. Like, I think the potential for Wentz is better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was really bad last year.
Right now it's hard to rank, but
by
week three, yeah, we could have
definitely
completely different thoughts about
that. No, for sure. But I just, like, I mean, the reason why the Lions moved off, or the Rams moved off of Goff is because he couldn't win the playoffs. I mean, Carson Wentz won 3 games last year and was throwing, I mean, he looked horrible last year when he was playing.
No.
And Goff didn't look that bad. He just wasn't going to take them to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Then there's that, like, the 12, I'm looking at their rankings, 12 to 16, Tannehill, Carr, Baker, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins. Those are all the same player to me.
Yeah.
That's just, like, the definition of serviceable in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's, like, they're not top 10 by any stretch of the imagination, but they're not horrible. Like, you have something at quarterback.
What's fun about the NFL right now, assuming that we get a few more years out of those, like, top guys that are old, is I feel like you keep pushing that, like, serviceable group, and you keep pushing them down more and more. And then Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson or Justin Fields, one of these guys is likely going to jump and make that big jump. One of them, probably one or two, won't. But you'll have another guy, and you'll add him to the list, and you keep shifting it down until it's, like, 15 to 18 guys.
And
you just have 15 quarterbacks that are really good.
Right. Who's the guy that you guys could see making a jump from the bottom half of that quarterback list to the top? That's not a rookie. Like, who's a guy that maybe we view as a bottom half of the league quarterback that you could see after this year being a top half? I'm just going to, like, hear, like, some names. I mean, Hurts, if he plays well.
I was just going to say, the only one I was really thinking of right now is Jalen Hurts, because he showed a little promise, but he also showed whatever the opposite of promise is.
Yeah. Tua is an interesting one, because if they go to the playoffs, Tua will have a much better perception than he does right now. Because it was ugly at the end of the year when they had to bench him. And then they end up not making the playoffs, when for a while it seemed like they were a lock to make the playoffs.
You can make the case for Sam.
Sam Darnold for sure.
Yeah.
When, Cam Newton too.
I think Cam's a great one, because he's actually got a full offseason, no surgeries this offseason. I think that
he's ran out of excuses.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that this is the time, and this is another 1 year contract. Proof,
yeah.
So get it done.
I mean, Carson.
I think he's the number one guy that could have a complete just.
Because two, 3 years ago, he was a top 12 quarterback, right?
He was an MVP.
When he got hurt that year, before he got hurt, I mean, he was top 3.
Yeah,
I agree. So, I mean, any one of these quarterbacks, really, you can make it.
Just a Drew Lock.
Jameis, I mean, things come out hot, and he's just out here doing what he needs to do.
Yeah. I think Daniel Jones won't go into that top tier, but he can. He's a perfect guy to rank in between Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan. Like, that's where Daniel Jones fits right in.
Yeah.
Because if he can take him to the playoffs, I think we have a much different feel for Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And I think the Giants can do it. I don't think I'd ever consider him to be top 10. I don't see that ever. But I can see him being like, Daniel Jones is a serviceable quarterback in the NFL.
He's
going to have the turnovers, but...
Yeah. I hope he makes a jump.
Yeah.
I feel like this, if he's going to do it anytime soon, this will be the year.
If it is Jameis over Taysom, I mean, if Jameis comes in with, I mean, he's obviously going to have slightly worse decision-making than Drew Brees, but the pop coming off of his arm and then the ball speed is going to be astronomically better than what Drew Brees was
getting
in the last 2 years. I mean, it was just atrocious. But if he can learn that the be smart and dump it down to Kamara and let Kamara get the yard or catch and then throw slants to our boy Slant Boy, Michael Thomas.
Their offense just isn't set up, though, for what I feel like Jameis is
doing. Yeah, it's completely different than Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
it's completely different. So I hope he learned a lot last year and revised his game and really just honed it in, because I feel like he's in a great position to succeed this year.
Yeah. The only thing that worries me a little bit about Jameis is, we had, you know, he had that eye surgery and stuff, and he's like, he's learned from Brees. And that's, like, everyone's like, oh, maybe that's how Jameis, but he, Drew Brees was hurt for a couple of games last year, and it was Taysom that they went with. That's what scares me a little. It's like, man, like, Jameis had an opportunity last year where he probably should have been the starter, and it went with Taysom. Ah, that scares me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the two things for me that make me think it's going to be Jameis is, for one, they bring him back. They didn't have to do that.
True.
And then they do the weird thing with the contract with Taysom Hill, where after, like, one
yeah.
year it's all voidable. Like,
yeah.
that just tells me that they think they made a mistake. And I'm sure he'll get his shot this year. And if he beats Jameis out, he beats him out. But they're not sold on him. And they're not – they got out of that commitment
for
they
sure.
made for 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, I think Jameis is probably going to win it. But, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. But if Taysom was the guy week one.
What is the thing I see is Sean Payton expects a full quarterback battle.
Yeah.
There's no leaning one side. He said Taysom Hill played last year because he didn't think Jameis Winston had the better grasp of the playbook. So he said right now it's completely even.
Which worries me a little because that wasn't week one. I mean, he was there for the entire – I don't know. I think to your point, Matthew, I don't think they believe in any either of them.
No.
But I think they looked around this offseason like, our rest of our team is so good that we can't just go out and, like, draft a quarterback this year.
Yeah.
We can't start over.
No. And they just, like, the way I see it is they gave these guys like, prove-it deals. They're different. Like, Payson has, like, he has a lot of high upside in his contract. Like, if you deal with this or whatever, you get all this more money. But with Jameis, they're, like, really not paying you a lot. It will not pain us to, like, let you go if it doesn't pan out or whatever. So I feel like they're putting them both in situations where I feel like at the end of the season, one's going to go.
It blows my mind because you have those two, right? It's either one of those two, probably. Hill is heading into the final season of a 2-year, $20 million contract, and we all know about the BS contract after that. But they just paid Jameis $12 million for 1 year. So the fact that they're this far over the cap and they're paying two guys around $10 to $12 million for next year to be in the quarterback room, it's just – it blows my mind.
Yeah.
It really does. So.
Yeah, I think Eli's right. I think one of them's gone. Sorry.
Mm.
I think one of them's got to win it, right? And that's who they're going to go with.
Mm.
I don't know.
That's why I think with Jameis, because I think that they can deploy Taysom, obviously, and all these different things they do, and they'll still get their money's worth of some sort out of them. But Jameis, you're just going to upset. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Taysom's games they played, I mean...
Yeah,
no. Just one. He played the Atlanta, and then they lost to the Eagles. Like, I don't know. He had the one game where he's a fantasy tight end, and he kind of went off against one of the worst defenses
right.
in football.
Right, right.
I don't know.
No, I don't believe in him at all. I just think they were like, we have a really, really good defense, and we have Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas.
Right.
And like, what are we going to do at quarterback? We can't – if we want to move up to where, like, the Niners are, because I bet if they get to 3, they would have been ecstatic, but I think they were like, we have to give up something significant to get, we can't just give up picks. Like, you'd have to give up all your picks and players, like good players, to get from wherever they were, 25, to get an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lost my train of thought. Dang it.
This is kind of off topic. I think the Bears might trade up and get a quarterback. That's been kind of on my mind recently. I don't think Andy Dalton is going to be...
One of these teams got to do it. Like,
them or the
one, yeah.
football team? Because those are the two teams for me that... They're at 19 and 20.
You go.
The only thing I can remember is when they signed Andy Dalton, and I know that was back then. It wasn't super long ago, but at the time of the signing, everyone's like, wait, is he going to be the starter? And then he told them, he's like, yeah, when they signed him, he's like, ah, they told
but
me
we've seen this
starter.
So many times, though, where that they post QB1 or this guy's our guy, and... I end up going somewhere completely different. But I know what you mean.
If you're the Bears, listen to me, listen here. If you're the Bears, to get up to 4, okay? So they get to 4. You have to exchange your first this year, obviously, so you're getting up to 20th pick, and then 3 future firsts.
Yeah, at least.
Or would you rather go and try to sign somebody for a second rounder, third rounder? I guess Jimmy could be in that conversation. Somewhere else like Teddy.
I just don't know. I think that mediocrity gets Pace and Nagy fired. I always bring this up. I know. So it's probably getting old, but like, say you bring Jimmy G in and you win 9 games this year instead of 8 last year. And I think I think they're fired. I think that, like, the ownership looks at how good their defense is, and they're like, you guys, like, we just, Nagy's an offensive coach, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's, like, I don't know if what it's, like, that's, Jimmy G is basically a slightly better Andy Dalton. That's why I think I don't, you know.
I think they're fired after one mediocre year, no matter who it is.
I agree.
But I think if they draft
right.
Trey Lance, they buy themselves time.
That's true. That's a great point.
How long, though? That's
I think you get at least 3 years.
Yeah. The Broncos.
3 years with no first
yeah.
round picks for the next 4 years? I don't know.
The Broncos are the team for me. If somehow they were at 9 and somehow Trey Lance, or I don't see it, but Justin Fields, if one of those guys were somehow there at 9, and then you don't take one of those guys,
yeah.
and you keep Drew Lock, Denver is going to be on fire
yeah,
by
yeah.
that. I mean, it's not happening, but if somehow they passed up on one of those quarterbacks, I mean,
I don't see
everyone, fire everyone.
Lance
I don't either, cool. yeah, but I don't see either one of them at 9, to be honest. But if one of them did, burn the city down, everything. It's over. Like,
yeah.
sell the team,
right.
pack it in.
I don't think a quarterback not named Mac Jones falls past 8.
I agree.
I was just going to say, if at 9, like, Mac Jones is there and Kellen Mond and the guy from Stanford, or
yeah,
Davis
Mills.
They are going to go.
I think there's a chance one of them goes in the back of the
back
first.
Back of first, yeah. There's no way they're going top 15.
No. But I could see them going.
If it was back in the first, wouldn't it be like probably be a playoff team?
Yeah, but I could see someone like trading up.
Yeah, teams trading
yeah,
up to the
yeah.
like.
I see Mond late first a lot.
Like one of those teams that's like just a bad team is top of the second round trading.
Right.
Like kind of what the Ravens did to get Lamar.
Yeah.
Like
Kellen Mond.
I don't believe in him at all, but I'm just saying that's
like really popular right now.
Yeah.
The, him and Mills
that's
go early.
That's a Teddy Bridgewater pick to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater and Lamar. Both were, the team just slid up.
Yeah, I think he's Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't think
yeah.
Lamar.
No, I don't either. There are a lot of people that think, man, Chris Sims loves Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
Has him over.
All over him.
Has him over. He's in 3.
Fields, Williams, and Jones. He has him over.
He has Wilson, Lawrence, Mond.
Yeah.
That's his top 3.
Yeah.
Wilson, Lawrence, Mond.
Wilson,
yeah.
Lawrence, Mond, Jones, Lance Fields. He
talking.
Hates Justin Fields.
He gets people talking.
He does. Yeah, we're talking about him right now.
We fell into his trap.
All right, that's all I have. I had some other stuff, but we can talk about that on the pod. Next week, so the draft starts at 8. Do we want to not do a live show at 1, or do we want to do the live show and then also go live for the draft?
We can do like a live show and like maybe go over any, like there's a lot of picks in the draft that are maybe unsure. We can kind of give like last minute predictions.
We could do a draft preview at 1 and just, or like, because there's bound to be something that happens between in the next week before the draft that we get to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, something else might come up every
night. And I think we go live at 5:30. We go live 30 minutes before the draft.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. We just keep it live the whole time. We can work on homework and stuff and vary it, but.
Everybody from watching have a nervous breakdown.
I know. That's gonna happen. No, that would be
second and third pick.
All right. That's all we got. Good show, boys. Rock the house.
Rock the house.